We ask that you give strength to our deacon, Lord, and Sister Tanya, she stands by his side. My sister, Lord, Trina, she needs you. And all the grandkids and the other children, Lord, everyone, her husband, Lord, so many need your touch at this moment, your encouragement, your strength. We pray, God, that you would help them all during this time. And Father, we realize that something has to die in order for something else to live. So may life come forth from this event. We're careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised and adored. Souls lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name, oh, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord, oh, he is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. One more time. Oh, we're singing, blessed be the name of the Lord. Yes, you are worthy to be praised and adored. So let's lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name, oh, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. So let's lift up holy hands, so let's lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name, oh, blessed be the name, yes, blessed be the name of the Lord. One more time, so let's lift up holy hands, so let's lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name, oh, blessed be the name, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I was there with Brother Troy, and he was telling me that God had given him a scripture. And he'd just been kind of going in the strength of the Word of God. And that scripture was Job, where the Bible says in all this, Job didn't sin against God. And he did not charge God foolishly. Amen. But Job, you know, made a statement, you know, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Right. Blessed be the name. Amen. Of the Lord. Amen. Amen. So it's so good that we can give him praise even in the midst of our loss. Tonight, amen, we want to get ourselves out of it. Brother Quentin Jr. is going to come and minister to our hearts. I had an opportunity here last Wednesday service with Brother Jerry, and I was absolutely blessed by that.
Amen.
I appreciate our precious brother. Praise the Lord. Amen. And on Sunday, Brother Troy came, and y'all was just having some church at this place for Sunday. I was midnight where I was, and I was trying to watch. watch some of the service, but I had to catch it on the next day, and just watching those smiling and song service, just like, wow, that's what a way to create an atmosphere. And then Brother Troy coming along and just ministering the word of God, and just really, really just was happy. And Sister Bernice, praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. She had something to follow up. I heard Sister Abby there, and like, there's some church. It's a really good atmosphere. And you know, she said, I ain't really got a song, but I'd just be playing around on the piano. So, well, my. That's what you came up with, playing around. Keep on playing around. Says, my God. But it was wonderful to hear that somewhere between here and there. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's just welcome, amen, our precious brother Quentin Jr. To the pulpit tonight, as he would just come in his own way. Let's sing one more time. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised and adored. So lift up holy hands and one accord. Singing, blessed
be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen. It's a blessing that when you're going through, you can still give God the praise.
That's right.
Because it's an assurance that God has given us, because it's him doing it.
Amen.
And it's not you trying to get yourself out of the situation, you trying to necessarily encourage yourself, but it's God on the inside wanting to encourage you, because he promised he'd do it.
Amen.
You are not there in the hard times.
Amen.
So we just want to, you know, as we're going into prayer, we also want to think about Brother Troy again.
Amen.
So let us pray just for us.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you, O Lord God, and we thank you for all that you've done, O Lord God, in our lives. We thank you for your grace and mercy, O Lord God. We thank you for watching over us, O Lord Jesus Christ, O Lord God. We may be battered, O Lord God. We may be worn out, Lord God. Lord, we may be dependent upon you, O Lord God, to just send a word, O Lord Jesus Christ, but even through it, Lord God, we just want to thank you, O Lord God,
amen,
for you're worthy to be God, O Lord God. You are the Alpha and Omega,
yes.
O Lord God. You're in between every situation, O
yes.
Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we just want to thank you even in the silence,
yes,
O Lord God,
yes,
because
God.
You're still worthy, O Lord God.
Amen.
You're the only one that can open up the book, O Lord Jesus Christ. You're the only one worthy enough, O Lord God, that has gone through this life, O Lord God, in flesh, and did not disappoint God, not one step of the way, O Lord Jesus Christ, O Lord. Though we fail you every day, O Lord Jesus Christ, but we want to thank you, O Lord God. We pray over, Lord, our precious brother, O Lord God, with the grievance in the family, O Lord God. O Lord, we know, O Lord God, that she's rejoicing in heaven, O Lord God. We know, O Lord God, that precious in the sight of your saints, the death and the saints, O Lord, is precious, O Lord, because it's a graduation. O Lord God, they're back with you, O Lord God. She was a part of you, Lord, and you were missing her so much, O Lord, that you had to bring her home, O Lord God. Lord, we may be sad, O Lord God, but O Lord God, come and comfort us, O Lord God. Comfort the family, O Lord God. We're still in the flesh, O Lord Jesus Christ, and it fails you every day, O Lord
Jesus
Christ. O Lord, may the saints go and encourage our brother, O Lord God.
Yes.
O Lord, the spirit that she had on her was Christ, and we have that same spirit,
yes,
O Lord. Let's
yes,
be a remembrance
yes.
to him, O Lord Jesus
yes.
Christ.
Thank
to
you,
know,
Jesus.
O Lord God, that you're in control, O Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we ask that you be over the service, O Lord God.
O God.
May your spirit come and speak a word for us, O Lord God,
yes,
that we may have victory in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 So I'll get right away with the message. The title of the message that the Lord inspired to give me was is a continuation of this series that was preached last time. So last time it was in the valley, and now this is expectations in the battle.
Amen.
So we're going to turn to 2 Chronicles 20. We're going to read verses 11 through 15. That's an opening verse. And it says, Behold, I say, how they reward us to come cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know what we to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehezreel is the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's.
Right.
Amen. The battle is not yours. And it's such a beautiful type of what's kind of happening, going on in Israel right now, with the battle they're expecting, because what the natural eye doesn't see is they're just possessing what's already theirs. Mm-hmm. Right? And they don't understand that God has already given them that inheritance, and they're just fulfilling their God-given rights. So it's not them fighting, but it's God fighting for them.
Right.
It's God fighting for them. So we're going to go through some quotes from the prophets, and kind of as we're going in the battle from day to day life, to kind of see what this Christian life is all about. So the first quote is going to be the Angel of the Covenant. The first quote is the Angel of the Covenant, 54:0-31, paragraph 34. And it reads here, starting from the 34th paragraph. Now let's break that down for a moment. Now the land belonged to him. Now God didn't say, I'm going to go in there and empty up the land and put you in it. He said, I'll give it to you. Now you go fight it out with them. There you are. God's give you healing tonight, lady, you, every one of you. He's give you the healing. It's your possession. So what the prophet is saying is, this is something you already possess. It's not a question of whether you have it or not. It's in your possession, right?
Right.
He says it's all bound down with Amorites and Canaanites and everything else of unbelief. But go in, take it over. It's yours. It belongs to you. That's right. I must fight if I should reign. Increase my courage, Lord. This is not a picnic ground. This is a battlefield, see? Not a place where we lay back and say, now, Lord, you just come force it right in me, then I'll do it. No, no. You don't do it that way. God never did it that way. He has a basis. Amen. And we're going to read another quote from the Message of Deceived Church by the Word, 59:0-628, paragraph 8. And I'll go ahead and read it. And it reads, remember, we are not on a picnic, but we're in a battlefield.
Right.
Many people just think that when they become a Christian, that that's all they need to do. That settles it forever. As they are a Christian and everything's going to come easy. Don't never get that in your head. For I become a Christian to fight the good fight of faith. I become a Christian to get in the battle lines. We are Christian soldiers, and we got to be trained and brought up and know all the techniques of the enemy to know how to fortify, to know how to fight the fight. And we can only do that as the Holy Spirit will reveal it to us.
Right.
We cannot take what some other nation tells us when we go to war, some other ideas. But we got to take our own ideas the way the Holy Spirit will direct us and what ideas he will give us, because he is the commander-in-chief of the army of Christians.
Right.
Amen. We're constantly in the battle.
Yes.
Right? And we're going to go to the Message, Revelation chapter 5, number 2, paragraph 37.
Praise the Lord.
Right. We want to really sink this thing down, this war that we're in.
Amen.
And it reads, now Satan will constantly punch at you until you're finished here on earth.
Mm-hmm. True.
Just remember that. You'll never have a time, but what there's a punching going on all the time. Because you're in a battle. Did you come to Christ? Did you ask to come to Christ to go into a picnic? Where you're sure going to be surprised, because it's a constant battle.
Right.
I've been on the field for 31 years and I fought every inch of the way. That's right. Israel had to fight every inch of the way. Palestine was given to them, but they had to fight every inch of the way to get it.
Amen.
Every inch of the way to get it. Right. And we're going to go to this last quote in the trumpet gives us uncertain sound. It's paragraphs 107-108. This will be our last quote. And it reads, now, army, war, it's always been war. We never joined the church or come to the church to come to a picnic. You must realize we are coming to a battleground. I never come for people to pat me on the back and say, Brother Branham, you're a wonderful person. No, sir, I come there with a shield. I don't need a shield for that. I come with a helmet and the armor. I come to fight every inch
of the ground.
God told Joshua, every place the soles of your foot treads upon, that I give you. So footsteps mean possession.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
God has not changed his mind
about us
and where our footsteps go. Yes, every footstep we take is possession.
Right, amen.
Right? And if it's a possession, that means it already belonged to us.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to get the thoughts out of our head that we're trying to get something. No, we already have possession of it. Right? We just want the Holy Spirit to come in and realize that possession for us. So as the prophet was saying in these quotes, we are constantly in a battle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first thing we have to do every morning that we wake up is to realize that it's a fight going on.
Right.
And when you're in the world, you see all the movies and the TV shows and the reality shows, and you see even people in the world, they just live, it seems they live a good life where, you know, they wake up and the sun's shining and drinking coffee and just going on about their day, and everything seems good and fine. And I feel that the American culture, and I used to argue with some of my African friends when I was younger, because they used to talk so much bad about America. And being American, you know, it kind of offended me because I was an American. Until I began to realize that, you know, they're right about that. Because this last age, America is a very, very big representative of that. Because it says that the people are rich.
Right.
But yet they're blind, naked, and don't know it.
Right.
And when
right.
I begin to think about it in America, America has the highest GDP where we have an abundance of resources. We have an abundance of entertainment. And so it's made us comfortable to think we're not in the war.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. And so in history class, I know I read about the Vietnam War, and the soldiers there wouldn't even go to sleep sometimes because they realized they could die in their sleep, so they stayed up all night every day because they were in a fight. Could you imagine them streaming Netflix or, you know, on social media all day,
right?
Realizing that if they didn't keep guard, their life would be gone.
Right.
And so I feel that American people, the enemy can kind of creep in and make us comfortable, right? Make us comfortable to unarm us. It's not that we don't have the weapons. It's just he wants to unarm us, and the weapon being the word. So I went to this concert, I believe it was Sunday, and this guy was talking about this one girl, this little girl there, where these people were writing letters to these little kids. And it was Christian people writing letters to these kids. And these are people that don't have the comforts and enjoyments of the world that we do. They don't have beds. They don't have, you know, they can't choose between a water bed and a orthopedic nice bed, or they don't have a carpet. They can't choose between these things. They eat a piece of bread a day. They don't have the comfort. So when this guy said he saw this little girl and she was holding on to this letter because someone had written her some words of encouragement, right? It meant so much to her, right? Because she didn't have these other things to distract her from those words.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel as Christians that sometimes we can allow the comforts of the word to distract us and our confidence in God's word, right? Because the ultimate love letter that we have is the Bible.
Amen.
You will not get any victory outside of the word.
Amen.
It doesn't matter how you feel. I don't care how you think about it. I don't care how much you say you love God, but there is no victory outside of So our first expectation, especially as Americans, is that outside of our dreams and plans, because a lot of us, you know, some people have dreams. They want to be doctors. They want to be business people. They want to raise a family. They want to do all these things. And it's all well and fine. But our first expectation is that we are in a war. Right in the back of your mind and deep inside your heart, you have to remember that you're in a fight and you're not just here to enjoy the things of the world.
Right.
When Adam and Eve sinned in the beginning in the garden, they forfeited our right to have a picnic on earth.
All right.
God told them, because you've done this thing, now you have to fight.
Right.
Now you have to fight. So we can't put ourselves in the millennium. When we're currently fighting right now, so we have to be diligent. We have to wake up and seek the Holy Spirit early in the morning and ask Him, where is the battle at? Where is the battle today?
All right.
And I remember there's this one Bible verse when I was young, And when I was a young Christian, I read and I didn't really understand it, but it said, Jesus said, take no thought of tomorrow, for tomorrow will think of itself. He said, sufficient is the evil in the day that you have thereof. And I didn't know what that meant, but as you begin to grow in Christ, you begin to open these things up to you. And what that was is the battles that you're facing today, that's what you need to focus on. A lot of times we allow the past, all right, the past mistakes and stuff to distract us, so we allow the future to try to distract us. But there are battles that are going on currently in our life that we have to overcome. And we're not going to do it. The only way we'll overcome is by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And that's what the prophet was telling us, that the Holy Spirit has to give us the revelation that, one, you're in a fight,
right,
and then give you the revelation of what you need to do to overcome it. Amen. So I thought that was a very, very good Bible verse, because it proves that every day we're fighting. Amen. And we're looking to God to give us the word to overcome
right. What
those battles are for today,
amen,
right, in this day. And another expectation that we have to realize in this fight is that God always trains you before the battle fights. Mm-hmm. God never sends a soldier into a fight unprepared, right?
Mm-hmm.
Never send you into a fight unprepared. Mm-hmm. And I know that some of us have been in a situation where we've gotten new jobs and the onboarding process was horrible. You know, you're asking people to help you with this and that, and you just say, hey, just read that, just watch this video. And then all of a sudden, you just feel so overwhelmed, right? Because it's the mentality of, everybody for himself. And so when the pressures of the job then start to squeeze you, you're always asking people for help, right? You feel frustrated, you want to leave a job because you're not prepared to fight it. And I know at my job, I remember, so we hired this one lady, and I went up to her and she was just frustrated, man. She just seemed like she was just frustrated and stuff. So I was telling some other people and other leaders in my job, I'm like, hey, can someone go and shadow her? And so I'm going like, and what shadowing is that you do the work first and let them watch you. And then you take a step back and then you let them do the work. And as they're going through the pressures and stuff, you're seeing how they react and you give them a word to say, hey, do this, hey, in that situation, don't do that. And then when they feel confident, that's when you leave.
Right.
And then now the person feels like I'm prepared.
Right.
Right. And if anything gets too drastic, I can still call someone for help.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's why I love that God doesn't think like man.
Yeah.
Right. God doesn't think like man.
Right.
No, when God sees that a battle is coming up, no, he's giving you the best weapon that he could, which is his word.
Right?
And it's his word, and he'll prepare you before he sees. Because the battles are big and are small, and we don't know when they're going to come, but God does know.
Oh,
and when he sees the big battles coming down the road, he starts to prepare you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He starts
yes, he
to
does.
Prepare you.
Amen.
Right, so that you can have victory into that. Because
Amen.
The thing about it is, when God sends you somewhere, his name is attached to you.
Right.
That can't fail.
Right.
Right. It cannot fail.
Amen.
A lot of times when we go into situations in our own thinking and our own will, and then stuff just gets all messed up. And God can't attach himself to our thoughts, right? Because then it will fail and it give the enemy a reason to mock God, right? So David is a great example of this. I love reading about David. So you see, Samuel had anointed David and anointed him the king, right? And so I can imagine David was happy. He was out in the field watching the sheep, sitting on a tree or something like that. But he was just so happy that he was chosen, not because of how good he was or how smart he was, but because God just loved him, right? God just loved him. And I can imagine, a bear just came out of nowhere and took one of the sheep.
Right.
And David rose up and started to go toward this bear. And you know how it is when you're first doing something. It's a nervousness, right?
Right.
It's a nervousness. So I can imagine, David may be running toward this bear and his knees were shaking. But then I can see the Holy Spirit kind of overshadow David and say, hey, David, remember when you were using that slingshot in your backyard,
hit
that
sir.
Tree? I want you to do the exact same thing and throw it at the bear.
All right.
Right? And so then David took that sling, threw it at the bear, hit the bear dropped.
Right.
The bear was a 1,000-pound bear, 10-foot-pound bear,
right.
And it just dropped before him.
Yeah.
Right? And the prophet said that that was such a supernatural event to David, because David was a ruddy guy.
Right.
He was small, and he knew that it would have been impossible for himself to take on a bear like that. So I believe that moment gave David confidence
right.
in God's word.
Yes, sir.
Right? In God's word. And this is before Goliath came
Amen.
On scene. Right? And so then I can see maybe, you know, now the lion came out of nowhere, right? And the lion just took a sheep, right? And he had the same, he used the same exact faith that he used to take the bear, and he took that slingshot
right.
and threw it at the lion. And the Bible says that the lion dropped the sheep and dropped down, but it rose back up. But when the lion rose back up, that didn't shake David. Because a lot of times when we go through our trials and we're overcoming something, we're overcoming something, then something else comes that is not the same. And then sometimes you can get all out of control, just like if you're on a job and a situation comes up that you're not sure about. So when this lion rose up, David still had faith, right? Because he had seen a supernatural event. And the Bible says that he took the lion by the beard and a knife and slew him. Right, so he realized that he was no longer ordinary, but that the God that anointed him, even though he wasn't on paper, he wasn't strong enough to fight against these things, but this supernatural event that God had given David gave him confidence in the word. And it gave him so much confidence that when he was going to fight Goliath, he didn't know he was going to fight the lion.
Right.
It was an unexpected battle.
Right.
And I'm telling you right now that there's going to be a lot of those coming in your life.
Right.
Goliath is not going to tell you he's coming.
Amen.
He's just going to show up.
Right.
And so you're going to need to be prepared
Amen.
To be able to fight it, or else you're going to run away.
Yes, sir.
But David was just walking just to give some of his brothers lunch.
Right.
And he saw Goliath boasting against the children of Israel. And the Bible says that he said, I'll go and fight him. And everyone was looking at him like he was crazy, because it was just a little kid, maybe the same size as Joseph. And they thought, well, what gives you confidence that you can do it? He said, well, there was a bear. There was a lion. And I slew it. Right? I had a slingshot. I slew it, and it fell. And this battle will be the exact same. No matter how much Goliath was taller and bigger than these things he had faced, but because God had prepared him, right? God had prepared him and gave him confidence that he would be able to take out Goliath.
Right.
What was God doing during that time? He was preparing David for the great battle.
Amen.
So you see, it was the victories that David had before that gave him confidence for this big event.
Yes.
And I'm telling you right now that it's the little victories that you have every single day that prepare you for this
big
event. That's why a lot of times when people come across great trials, and they're cowering, and they're afraid, and they're afraid, and they're praying, and they're crying out, it's because they didn't recognize what God was doing to try to prepare them for it.
Right.
What God was trying to prepare them for. So it's just the small victories that you face every single day, right, that help you to overcome bigger ones. Because healing is easy. Victories are easy. When David saw Goliath, it was an easy fight for him. No matter how big he was,
yes.
it was such an easy fight for him.
Yes.
Right? It was, and he never fought someone that big before, but he was confident in the word that he had.
Amen.
So we have to look at ourselves and our lives and our life, and how can we expect God to give us the faith, right, to heal a great disease or great situations when we can't even apologize to our brother or brother wrong?
All right, right.
Amen. Small
Amen.
Things like that.
True.
Or you know, you or you can't have patience with people on the job, right? And you're making, let's say, $20 an hour. You want God to give you $50 an hour. And you can't even have patience at 20 or 15 dollars. And you want God to give you a big increase.
All right,
it's just a bigger battle.
Right.
That's what you overcome with what you have before you.
All right.
To prepare for that battle in the future. So, you know, and everybody wants to move. Everybody wants to stop the sun. When we read the Bible, everybody wants to stop the sun.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to walk on water. Everybody wants to cast out
right.
demons and all these things.
Yes.
And I was thinking, and there was a situation at my house when I was with my dad. I came home, and he had accidentally opened up my mail. And I just got all upset. I was like, why are you opening my mail? This is my stuff. And I got all upset with him. And I went back to my room, and I sat down. And the Holy Spirit came and said, you know you shouldn't have talked to your dad like that. And I said, Lord, you know in my heart, I didn't mean to say that. You know, I did not mean to say that. He said, I understand that, but you need to go up and apologize. Right. And there was a battle because pride was in the way because I didn't want to get up and go and say that. Even though I knew I was wrong, yep, and I was sorry about it. Mm-hmm. So there was a little battle there, mm-hmm, right? We want to move mountains and stuff like that. So can't even move our pride out of there. So I had to hunker down, and the Holy Spirit still doing it. Right. And I had to get up off my chair. That was a great victory.
All right.
And I had to take steps and I started walking to my dad. Right. When I went to my dad, I said, Dad, I'm sorry for saying that to you. Please forgive me.
Yeah.
What a great victory.
Right.
Because I can take that to a great situation now. I can look back into it and say, hold on a second. If I deny myself then, I don't care what the doctor says. Because the doctors want to come with you with specifics. They'll say that your blood level is this. You see your white blood cell count is small.
All right.
You're losing strength.
Right.
There's no hope for you.
Wow.
And if you don't know how to deny yourself, you're going to believe it.
All
so
right.
It's those small victories that you get every single day that help you to fight the lies when they come. Right?
Yeah. Amen.
So we're going to also. So now let's go to the New Testament now, just to see some more examples of God preparing you for the fight. And we're going to take a look at our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now Jesus had a friend in Lazarus, right? And Lazarus got sick one time, and the family went to Jesus for assistance because they knew he could turn the situation around. Mm-hmm. But God had something else for Jesus to do, mm-hmm, right? And so when Martha went and told him all these things, God had Jesus do something else, right? So another expectation you have to realize in the battle is God don't give you all the details.
Right.
Right.
Amen.
God doesn't give you all the details.
Right.
So you gotta trust in his word and in his timing, mm-hmm, and when he says things, right? Because Jesus told them that Lazarus doesn't have a sickness unto death, mm-hmm, right? He didn't have a sickness unto death. And then, but as we read later on in the Bible verse, Lazarus did end up dying. Mm-hmm. So could you imagine the battle Martha was in at nighttime, knowing that Jesus said, oh no, he's not going to die, and then he died. Right, that's when the enemy loves to come in your ear and say, hold on a second, Martha, you know Jesus can heal. You've seen him heal millions of times before.
Right.
Can you imagine the battle in her head where she's wondering why did you let him die, Jesus? Mm-hmm. Right, and all of a sudden now she's in a great battle. Right, and maybe Jesus. So the thing about it is Jesus, before all this happened, Jesus was in the will of God and doing the perfect will of God. And God had, maybe he was after a healing service or something, he was out and about, and God gave him a vision. And that vision was him standing before a grave, crying out to Lazarus to come out. So God already knew something was going to happen,
right,
but God had given him the assurance and the victory that Lazarus would live.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't say all those things, right? And so sometimes God won't tell you all these things.
Right.
You just got to trust him.
Amen. Lord, right. Lord, Amen. Lord,
he knows exactly what's going on, and that can be hard, and it's a trying time for our faith.
Amen.
Right? It's a trying time for our faith, right? And so we have to, and so we're going to turn to, turn our Bibles, and you don't have to really turn to Bibles, go to the Bible verses just to kind of go through the situation. We're going to go to John 11, just to kind of show, John 11, 20. And this is when Martha was, Jesus was coming back. He already had the vision that Lazarus was going to live. And this is Martha coming. And this, look at Martha's attitude after she had gone through those battles at nighttime where she was battling with, hold on a second, Jesus, you could have healed my dad. The Bible says in John 11, 20, that Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. And I like that because she didn't run away from him. Right? She didn't run away from him. She still went to the word.
Amen.
No matter how she was feeling, no matter how she was set, she didn't understand what was going on, but still ran to the word.
Amen.
Right? But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been there, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask God, God will give it to you.
Amen.
Now, can you imagine, like, give me that kind of faith, that even when a situation, and you don't have all the answers, and that's another expectation battle, like I said before, you won't have all the answers, and that in itself is a battle.
Right.
That in itself is not a way. You're looking to find a reason of what's going on. And regardless of all that, you still have to trust in God.
Amen.
Right? You still have to trust in God.
Right.
So when we come down here to verse 33, it reads here, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? They said unto the Lord, come and see. In verse 35 it says, Jesus wept. Now this is an interesting thing, because this is actually a short Bible verse, and we had from the youth. I didn't know the answer to that question. They said, what is the shortest Bible verse? Now I knew. Right? Praise God. But here it says here that Jesus wept. And if you read the message, people tried to challenge the prophet. And a lot of people still believe today in religion that Jesus was just a man.
Uh-huh.
And they use this Bible verse as a proof to show, how can God cry?
Uh-huh.
Right? How can God? And it looks very, very convincing, because he had the victory.
Uh-huh.
He knew Lazarus had the victory.
Yeah.
So why is he still crying?
Mm-hmm.
Why is he still crying?
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I love it. And that's why you need the prophet, you need the Holy Spirit to open the word to you. I love that he wept. The Bible says that he was tempted so he could help those that are tempted.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He went through things that we did as a man so he could understand how we felt about things.
Right?
How we felt about things. He didn't just come on earth, and a lot of people thought he would come on earth as like a king, just conquer everything, and, you know, come in purple and gold and just untouchable, but he came just as us. He was tempted as us. He wept like us to understand what are these people going through, so that I can give them a victory, right? And we have to realize that for our situations, we also have the word. It may have not been a vision, but we also have the word to help us overcome in our situations,
Amen.
Right? God has already given us a vision that we're coming out of our situations.
Right.
As our precious brother Jerry preached last week, it was before the foundation of the world.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We already had the victory, but sometimes the emotions can just overtake you, right? Emotions just overtake you. Even though you got the word, you know, we get sad, we get upset. You know, we question God, why is this happening to you? Right, so it's and it's tough, because you're just going through your life plans. Some of the sisters, you know, you talk to some of the sisters and they want to start a family. Right? It's in their heart for them to start a family. God gave them the possession to be a mother and to have kids. And then you go to the doctor and the doctor says, well, you'll never have kids.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now they know the Bible verses where God has delivered people before. They've all heard it before, but because they're going through it themselves, it's tough for them to see the word. It's tough for them to see the word. So that's why I appreciate how Jesus could cry, could come to Lazarus' grave and begin to cry and begin to weep, even though he knew the victory was assured. But sometimes when you're in the flesh, it just overtakes you sometimes. So I'm glad that God can himself be tempted and go through situations like that and still see the word through that, right? And because we all deal with those frustrations. You know, when a doctor gives you the report and says that you're not going to get better, you're not going to get well, it drops your heart, right? Or when you hear about someone, a wayward kid, the kid says, you know, I don't want to serve God anymore. Right, it just causes your heart to drop. There's not enough word that can prevent that feeling from coming. Even though you know you got the Bible verse that says, "Thy in a household shall be saved," but nothing prevents those emotions from overtaking.
Right.
So another expectation is in the battle is that no matter what you're going through, the frustrations, the sadness, and the tears, and the questioning and stuff, always speak the word after.
Amen.
And that's what the prophet has said about Jesus when he said, yeah, he sure did wept. He wept when he was a man. But after that, when he told Lazarus to rise about the grave,
he's
gone. And so in our situations, we have to recognize that we can still speak the word afterwards.
Uh-huh.
There was a man in the Bible who was, he wanted to get healed, right? And he had leprosy or some sickness on his skin or something like that. And they were telling him to do this and do that, and he was just frustrated. He didn't want to do none of that. They told him, hey, you need to go into this, these waters over here. He said, these waters are dirty, right? And he was just frustrated all the time. But the beautiful thing about that is he still believed the word after all those frustrations.
Right, right, yes.
He still believed the word after all those frustrations, and God came through for him.
Amen.
Right. So I like that typing, and I like that the typing for even for Christ himself to see Lazarus come out, to see Lazarus die and then come out the grave, so that one day when he would be on the cross, right, and he would be approaching death, he could look back to what God had already did for Lazarus and have the confidence to come back out of the grave.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's the expectation, is God always prepares you for a battle that's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so now we're going to turn to Exodus 3. We're going to read chapter 11. We're going to read chapter 3, verse 11. We're going to look at Moses, someone else that God had to prepare before a great battle was coming, right? And we're going to, so it says here, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve me. Ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Mm-hmm. And another expectation I have when you're in a battle is it's already won.
Amen.
Yes.
It's already won.
Amen.
When God told Moses that, he said, when you guys come out of here, this is the mountain y'all are going to serve me on. The one that you're standing on right now, you're going to come right back here.
Mm-hmm.
On this mountain, right, which was their possession. Right, the battle had already been won when God had said that first word. Right, and we're going to turn to chapter 4 now to see another expectation. Right, and we're going to go to verses 6 through 8. We're going to read verses 6 through 8, because a lot of times, you know, when God told Moses that, it should have been enough. Right, but you got to remember that we're in the flesh now. Right, we're in the flesh and we struggle with these things. You know, so God has to build our confidence. God has to show us in little victories that he is able to do what he said he would do. Because sometimes we just need that. We need that experience to trust God for bigger things.
Mm-hmm.
So verse 4 says, and the Lord said unto Moses, Verse 6. And it says, and the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thy hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. So leprosy was a disease during that time that was like the cancer for our day.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It was something that was, people, when they saw that you were leprous, they kicked you out. They didn't want nothing to do with you because they didn't want that spreading. Right? It was such a big deal in the day. And here was God. And if we could put our spiritual binoculars on, in this single verse right here, in the spiritual realm, God was allowing that demon to come on to Moses. Right? God allowed this demon to come on to Moses. And then when he told him to take his hand out of his bosom, he said to the demon, all right, now you got to go. He was trying to show Moses who was in charge. Right? He was trying to show Moses who was in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Right? 8, and it shall come to pass, reading verse 8, and it shall come to pass if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And this is where our other expectation comes into play, right? You got to expect to get hit. You got to expect that Satan's going to hit you. Satan is not like a little, a little nerdy kid, nerdy kids in high school where bullies just pick on him and just do whatever they want to say. No, the Bible says he is a worthy adversary, which means that you got to take him serious. You got to take him serious, right? And the prophet said, the prophet preached a message. He said, sometimes when God gives you the victory, he says that you're healed from your sickness. He says, sometimes you get sick. When God gives you the victory over a situation that you have, sometimes it gets worse. Right?
Yeah.
The prophet said, sometimes it gets worse. And when Moses went to the children of Israel and tried to and perform the signs and stuff like that, there was one time where the Pharaoh caused them to do more work. He took away the taskmasters and he caused them to do more work than what they needed. But God still had the victory in their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And they could not see that. So that's why it's important to keep your focus always on the Word. Right? Always on the Word. Right? So it was, another expectation in this fight is God does not need much in order for you to win. And that's a big one because a lot of times we think we need so much. And that's why God hates denominations. Right? When you look at the denominational spectrum, on one end you have Catholics. And Catholics, you know, they're not even allowed to read their Bible. Because, you know, the minister is supposed to interpret that. And then they have the confession box and things like that. And it puts God in the past. Because when the children of Israel went before God, he was in a temple at one time. Right? And then you have the other spectrum of the denomination, which is the Pentecostals. And the Pentecostals, they put themselves in the millennium, but with sin. And it's like, no, you can't just, you may have experienced the filling of the Holy Ghost and enjoyed the gifts and stuff like that, but you still have to live a clean life.
Right.
Right? So God hates denominations because it just spins you all over the place, and it takes away how the simplicity of the gospel. Because a lot of times in some of your victories, all you need is obedience. All you got to do is obey sometimes.
Yes.
God says do that, you do that, and victory won.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
And a lot of Pentecostals don't get that. Right? Because they think they can do whatever they want, live in sin, and still have the victory. Right? And that's why they struggle with a lot of things. The Catholic side, on the Catholic side, they put their faith too much in men. Right, but you can't follow a man.
Right.
And that's why even in this message, like, people try to bring their denominations into the message. And that's why we don't bow down to the prophet. We love Brother Brandon.
Right.
We love our prophet.
Yeah.
Right? But if you read the story in the life of the prophet, you'll see when he was young, I believe he shot himself in the foot or something. And the Bible said that, and not the Bible said, but he said that he was falling down the hill.
That's right.
And he said he was calling for his mom and dad. When someone's going through hell, you don't want to follow somebody that's calling for their mom and dad. You don't want someone that's calling for mommy and daddy when they're going down to hell. Because the Bible says that when Jesus descended into hell, he was preaching, right? Which is a type of life. But he was still living the standard and religious way. You want to follow someone that has confidence that no matter what they're going through, in reaching hell with all the terrors and the horrors, he was still keeping the standard.
Wow.
He wasn't calling on God. He wasn't afraid or nothing. For each prophet even said that he went right up to the throne of Satan, took back the keys, and kicked him. That's somebody that you want to follow and go into a battle. Right? And Jesus had the word to give him victory through that. Right? Because he knew Lazarus had rose from the dead. He knew that Jonah would be delivered out of the belly of the fish. Right? He had the word. And that's why it's important for us sometimes that to deny ourselves. Denying yourselves gives you the victory.
Yes.
Right? Denying yourselves gives you the victory. That's why a lot of times, you know, you're expecting God to do great things in your life, but can't even wake up to read your Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even not deny yourself to wake yourself to read your Bible. You can't deny yourself food to fast.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Fasting hasn't changed.
Because
with American culture and current denominational preaching and stuff, you would think these things don't exist no more. But God hasn't changed his word.
Amen.
Sometimes you gotta fast.
Yes.
Right? Sometimes you gotta put down the plate.
Yes.
And in American culture, it's real hard because we have an abundance of stuff. You go into the store, the candy aisles are full. You go into Publix, everything is full. Right? So it's hard for you to deny yourself. But sometimes you gotta fast for a victory, right?
Amen.
Another thing, and Brother Jack preached this. Sometimes you have to praise God when you don't even feel like it.
Amen.
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 got to praise God when we don't feel like doing it. Right? All God is doing in these situations is teaching you how to deny yourself. Because just as much as it is important to have faith in God, I have faith in God, it's just as important to deny the flesh.
Amen.
It's important to deny the flesh in order to get a victory.
Amen.
And God does not need much. God does not need much. I can imagine that when David was going to fight Goliath, right? Let's say David went by a stream, he was going to go. And let's say there was a bunch of stones out there, and David was going to pick, maybe David was going to, just a dramatization, maybe David was going to pick up a big rock. God said, no, just pick up the small one. Pick that small one up.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, pick God. That small one up.
Yeah.
Right? Because I can see, you know, maybe Jesus looking back, because he said, you know, if you have the faith of a mustard seed,
right?
Mm-hmm.
It'll move a mountain. Which is what the prophet taught us this thing is having faith in mustard seed is just not having a small faith. It's that your faith, I mean, that faith is completely unadulterated. It's nothing but God's word. Ain't mixed with nothing. That amount of faith, right, can move a mountain. And that's why the prophet was inspired to say that when the weakest Christian,
yes,
that's right, even if you're in a situation and the enemy comes in your ear and says you're weak, go ahead and agree with him. Because the prophet said, when the weakest Christian,
hey, come on, bro. Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
There's still a victory. Right? God doesn't need much, but a lot of times we in our minds, and you think about it in the world today, you know, we got atomic bombs. And, you know, and back in the 90s, they talked about a space program where they wanted to create satellites to shoot the missiles out the sky. And we got all these bombs and stuff like that. And it's like, you don't need that much to fight.
Right.
If you have alms, if you have a problem with your brother, just go and say sorry.
That's right.
One of your greatest weapons. Just cease all the wars. Just say, sorry, brother, if I've offended you. You're my brother and I love you. See, Christians don't need much to win. And a lot of times, and that's why a lot of times you see a lot of the Pentecostals, all the shouting they do and smacking people in the head and stuff on stage. You don't need much to win the victory.
Amen.
As long as there's faith and there's love.
Yes.
Right? Even in a small abundance. Mm-hmm. Satan doesn't like that. Right? Because it's a living word. It's a living example. It's showing him something that he's not.
Right.
And
Amen.
He can't stand, and he can't stand against that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So in closing, you know, it is important for us as Christians to recognize that we're living in a culture that is the opposite of what God thinks.
Mm-hmm.
Living in a culture that says it's okay to go through life and have plans and have try to plan your future and live in abundance things and just go, you know, going on vacation and stuff like that. But sometimes when you're on vacation, it's a battle when you come up. We're family. I know a lot of us have probably experienced that. You go on a vacation with your family, you expect them to be relaxing. And all of a sudden somebody says something, it's like, oh man.
Hey, cool.
Right? We're supposed to be enjoying ourselves.
Right.
And all of a sudden you're in a battle. And it's a reminder that you're constantly in a war. Right? The world says you're on vacation. God says you're in a war. Right? No matter what you're going through, God says you're in a war. Right? So it's imperative as believers to take God and trust him in his word. Learn to deny ourselves. Recognize we're in a war. No matter the situation, no matter how good things look, we can't fall to that deception. Right? As we want to pray to close out. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word, O Lord God, that has come, O Lord. We thank you, O Lord God, for the truth that you've placed in us, O Lord God. It's a confidence that we can stand on, O Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Lord God, we know that we can't do the victory. We can't win the battle within ourselves, oh Lord God. That's why you told the children of Judah, oh Lord, in 2 Chronicles, you said the battle is yours, oh Lord God. And Lord, you prepare us, oh Lord God. And in that preparation, the preparation is to deny ourselves so that you can shine through. Right? And that's why people didn't understand Christ. Yes, he wept as a man. That was to show that there's still a man aspect there, O Lord. But when that man aspect has gotten to the point where it can't be nothing else, God, you have to show yourself, O Lord God. We're not depending upon our own strength, O Lord God. We're not depending upon our own knowledge. We're not depending upon our own ways of things to bring about a victory, oh Lord. But we're trying to do whatever we can to deny ourselves, oh Lord God, and let you win the victory for us, oh Lord God. Oh Lord God, we know, Lord, one of the greatest weapons in the Bible is rest. Mm-hmm. The prophet said the Holy Spirit is rest.
Mm-hmm.
We rest in knowing, oh Lord God, that you have everything in control.
Yes.
You know all of our needs, oh Lord God. You know the battles that we'll face tomorrow, next year, 10 years from now, oh Lord God. And we don't know it, oh Lord Jesus Christ. That alone should make us depend upon you, oh Lord God.
Amen.
Oh Lord, but the luxuries of this life, the abundance, the internet, where we can get so much information, to the point that we can think that we don't need you, oh Lord God. Oh Lord, but we're thankful, oh Lord God, for your discipline, oh Lord God, that you allow us to get broken down, oh Lord Jesus Christ. And even with all of these devices around us, oh Lord God, you will break us down, oh Lord God, to show, oh Lord God, that you're the one in control of our lives, oh Lord God. No matter how smart we think we are, no matter how powerful that we think we are, how much we got together, oh Lord, you want to show us, oh Lord God, that you're the one that's in control, oh Lord God.
Yes.
We thank you, oh Lord, for the victory, oh Lord God. While we're waiting, we don't know all the answers to stuff, oh Lord God, but you never expected us to know all the answers, oh Lord God. So we cast that out of our hands, oh Lord God, and we just trust, oh Lord God, that you said you would do what you would do in our lives, oh Lord God. We thank you and we love you, Lord God, in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. We certainly thank God for his word tonight. Brother Quentin just sharing with us the expectations and battle. And I like to say it's a very practical things that he laid out for us, and recognizing first that we are in a war, and God never sends us into the war unprepared.
Amen.
And you know, and the other thing is that God's not going to give us all the details, and God doesn't need much for us to win. So that was just a really, really wonderful thought here on tonight. Really, really appreciate it.
Amen. Amen.
Just bring that to our hearts. It's good to come to church.
Amen.
Amen.
Always good to come to church. And I like that little example that he used of, you know, us not following a man when it comes to Brother Branham. He's a prophet, yes, and we respect his office. Our adoration, our glory, our praise, it goes to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And, you know, just the example of both Jesus going to hell and Brother Branham going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Branham going to hell screaming for mama, daddy, God. You know, I mean, he didn't say there was no mama there, there was no daddy there, there was no God there. He just, you know, he was in trouble. But when Jesus went to hell,
Amen.
He preached to the souls that were lost.
Amen.
The souls in prison. He went there preaching. So he is our example.
Amen.
And we're following. I like that. I really, really like that. I'll use that again. And I give credit where credit is due. But that was real good tonight. Praise the Lord. Let me have tonight's announcements. And, I keep forgetting, there is another meeting that's coming up, and I have a flyer at my house, and I need to bring it to you, but Brother Steeman, they're having a meeting the first weekend of December, I believe, but I'll try to get that to you all. Sunday morning prayer will be from 9 to 10, and service at 10:30, and streaming will continue through Twitter, Facebook, and our church website. This Friday night is our home tape service, and we'll be listening to the sermon, It Is I, and this is 1960-11-24 is the date on that. Also, don't forget, we'll be having a youth service coming up Friday, November 10th, and that's not this Friday, but next Friday. There'll be a youth service here at 7:30, so keep that in mind. And this Saturday, there is a fall back of an hour for Sunday morning, I guess midnight. Midnight it goes back an hour, and so just remember that, and you'll get to enjoy another hour of sleep. Don't forget Jesus Christ Tabernacle, Brother Anderson. He's having a meeting there, Youth and Family Camp, Columbia, South Carolina, June 6th through 9th, and registration is now open for that, so you can go to that website to register. Standard meetings were a blessing last year, and I trust that some of our saints can ever meet again this year. Our giving is multiple ways. Cash App, the handle is $ Spirit and Truth T, Zelle, as well as PayPal. The email address of giving at john423.org. PayPal is one that we discourage because of the fees that they take, and also mail the Spirit of Tabernacle, P.O. Box 222462, West Palm Beach, Florida 33422. And those in the sanctuary, there is a box in the back where you can give. Amen. So before we leave tonight, anybody have a praise report, a prayer request that they want to make mention of before we go? Okay, I see a couple. All right, he'll bring the microphone to you. Amen. Thank you, brother.
God bless you. I actually have two prayer requests. The first one is one of my oldest grands is suffering from a constant nosebleed. And today, this morning, it's actually gotten worse, where it's bleeding and just running like water, blood clot. So I'm not sure what the doctor's going to do with her as of yet. She has to see a specialist, but they're talking about hospitalizing her to take care of that issue. And then the second one, I have a patient that was diagnosed with breast cancer. She asked for prayer. When they diagnosed her back in August of breast cancer, and they constantly was giving her medication and giving her more than what she was supposed to take. And it burnt her skin real bad. Her skin started peeling, her face, her hands. She was hospitalized for a week, this past week gone. She couldn't walk. Her whole body had been swollen up real bad. So she was asking for prayer. And if she's up to it, she'll be in church with me on Sunday. Just keep her in prayer.
Okay, praise the Lord. And I know we have another request back there, but before I forget, let me just share two things. We'll pray for her tonight. But if she does come with you on Sunday, we'll anoint her with oil and pray for her again, right? Other thing is for your granddaughter. You can either do this or you can have Brother Jay do it. Brother Bradley said that anyone that had a nosebleed, what you do is you read Ezekiel 16:6 three times. Over them, and then you say a word of prayer. So just make sure you read Ezekiel 16:6 three times, and then have a word of prayer. Okay. Before they take it to the hospital. Our daughter had the same thing one night. I thought she was going to go to the hospital, but I read that three times and prayed, and she ain't had another nosebleed since that time. So, not that I know of. So, but just read that, and then I'll read my daughter. Yes, brother, you had it.
Yeah, I just want to solicit some prayers. I got an interview tomorrow, and I just ask that the Lord go before me, but also overshadow the interview, just to make sure it goes well.
All right. Amen. We will certainly do that.
Short testimony. Does go real good with the message. So a lot of times, like you were saying with David, things that happen strengthen us, strengthen our faith. Especially, I think, another message that he preached, he said that even when something happens and you're strong through it and follow the word, it actually also strengthens your faith, right? And it gives you better victory. So recently I had raised some of my prices. I made a letter stating that why my prices were going up and that my profit margin was staying the same. It's just because of fuel and stuff. And there was two people this one day, I think it was last week on a Thursday, two people that I needed, hadn't got it, and I needed, was going to them, and I needed to let them know. And it was kind of battling, the devil was like kind of battling in my head, telling me, don't tell them, you know? They're not gonna accept it, they're gonna fire you, they're gonna say something. So I just kind of like, as I was going to the first stop, I in my heart, I was just driving, and I said, Lord, you know, I feel that you led me to do this, so would you help me here take control of this? So I went to the first stop, I finished the horse, and I when I'm leaving, the lady wasn't there. Send her a text, put it in the text, you know, why prices are going on. I said, from here on, the next time it's gonna be this much because of this. And she sends me a text back, and she's like, oh, it's not a problem. Actually, I'll pay that from this time. Well, praise the Lord, you know? I get to my next customer, and the guy works overnight, and he's not there when I go. And if he is, he's sleeping, and he leaves the money for the horses under this little doggy in the front of the house. So when I get there, I see the dogs barking, and the guy's there. So I already had the text all set, and I say, when I finish the horse, and I leave, I grab the money, I'll send them the text. He comes out, and I'm doing the horse, and he comes out there, and he's like, man, I haven't seen you in a while. How's everything doing? Like, everything's good, you know, doing the horse, I'm doing the horses. And he's like, when he's about to leave, he says, hey, do I owe you any more money? Did your prices go up? Do I need to pay you more? And I was like, no. What'd you say? I said, you gotta see this, man. You gotta see. Look at this text that I have written down for you that I was gonna send you. Because my prices, they go up. But don't worry about it. It's from next time forward. This is what's gonna be. He said, next time forward, no. I'm gonna pay you that right now. So I just want to say that whenever the Lord has got something for you, yes. You know, the devil's going to tell you, don't do it. So anybody that's, Lord's leading them to get a raise, or maybe they need it or something, just, if the Lord is leading you, just go ahead and do it. He will help you through it. Amen. He'll help me through that.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Certainly appreciate that testimony. Very, very encouraging. All right. Two things I want to ask prayer for. My uncle, I forgot to mention, he lost his wife, I want to say a week or so ago. And just want to remember my Uncle James in prayer. And my praise report is that I'm happy to be home.
Amen.
We made it there safely and returned safely. I can't say that, you know, when I think about trips that long, it's hard for me to get my expectations up because of just the traveling. But we had one issue going where one flight was kind of like not canceled, just delayed by an hour, which would cause us to miss our connecting flight, which is, you know, that was a flight going all the way to Sydney. But we had prayer, we asked for prayer, brothers prayed, and God grounded the plane for us again. And the plane held up in Los Angeles and waited for us to get there from Atlanta before they would, you know, they would take off. And there were 11 other people that were going with us, but I believe it's because of the two sons of God.
Amen.
That's why, you know, they did it. But we thank God for that. And meetings were a great success. Australia is a nation that rejected or denied Brother Branham from entering into their nation. He had filed his visa, and they told him that he couldn't come. And so, you know, when you have people that reject the prophet, spiritually, where people are. And most of the messages come into Australia through people that have moved there from other countries like Zimbabwe, New Zealand, all kind of Philippines and people come in, and that's how the message is actually entered into the country. But you know, when you get there and you see just the needs of the people spiritually, you realize that, hey, if God has given you something, maybe it helps somebody, then you want to yield whatever God has given you to be able to help. So we were happy to be able to go and just be a blessing to the church. They were certainly a blessing to us, and they're already talking about trying to do it again. You know, and this was not even the pastor. I mean, it was the people that came to the meeting. The very first day of the meeting, the very first day, they asked the pastor, like, are you going to do this again next year? We need the next year and the year after that. And I said, well, so I can't promise y'all that I'll be back, but I'll certainly pray, you know, about it. We'll see what the Lord will do. But I say certainly we want to do all we can to be a help, but we just got to wait on the Lord. Amen. So, but we thank God for a very, very successful meeting there in Melbourne, Australia.
Amen.
Amen. So let's pray over the request that we have tonight, and we will prepare to dismiss. Father, we first want to thank you for the testimony there from Brother Sway, and God, how you just blessed him with raising his prices and even confirmed it with two people that were willing to pay right then. On the price increase, and Lord, we just pray to just continue to bless his business, and hearing that Brother Garen's about to step into an interview on tomorrow, and we're asking that you would go before him, that you would bless him as he walks through the door, and that you, God, would just give him all the answers that he needs to make the people feel comfortable that they're hiring the right person for the job. May they look beyond, Lord, many things, and just give them a peace, Lord God, that would help them, Lord, just to settle in and answer whatever questions being presented to them. Father, we want to pray for the request of Sister Verna, her grandchild that's having this issue with the bloody nose. God, as they would gather around a child and read Ezekiel over that child three times, and then Ezekiel 16:6. God, I watched you do it for my daughter, so God, I know that you'll do it for her granddaughter, and you, God, would just bring healing to that body. We curse it at its root, whatever it is, we curse it, and Father, may life come forth even right now. Also, this friend that is suffering from cancer, not even anything they did, but Lord, just something went wrong, a process that went wrong, and now they're dealing with the consequences of it. We know that not even cancer will stand in the way of a prayer. So as believers, we pray, and God, we ask that you would move on the scene for this friend. Lord, we know that you are a healer. We know that there's nothing too hard for you. So we pray that you would just get involved in this. And Lord, if this is an opportunity for her to come closer to you, then we welcome the opportunity. I'm grateful that she's able to come to the house of the Lord. We want to lay hands and pray over her, as the scripture tells us, to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. This is what the Bible says. So God, we do things according to the Bible. And God, we expect you to do what you said you do, no matter what the condition is, no matter what the situation is. We just expect you to fulfill your word. Lord, we pray that as we leave this place, but not your presence, that you would go with us, that you would keep us until we're able to come together again, as we will listen to the tape on Friday night. May you speak to us once more through your word. And may you receive all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise for all that we do, God. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Mark, will you just dismiss everybody?